This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Remind you, inshallah, Asr starting today will be 5:45, and it will stay like that, inshallah, until the end of Ramadan. So Asr Iqamah will be 5:45, inshallah ta'ala. Our weekday series, inshallah, the attributes of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will continue even around 20 minutes, inshallah ta'ala, so it won't take much of your time. Talked about his patience, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his generosity. Today, I want to talk about his bravery, alayhi salatu wasalam. سلام شجاعته صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم قول الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم الذين كفروا زحفا فلا تولوهم الأدبار ومن يولهم يومئذ دبره إلا متحرفا لقتال أو متحيزا إلى فئة فقد باء بغضب من الله ومأواه جهنم وبئس المصير. For those who believe, meet your enemy the battlefield, then do not turn your back and run. It was made haram for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba to turn their back and run in any situation. Alayhi salatu wasalam, this was the ruling that he was given prior to it being revealed in the Quran and given to the Sahaba in general. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says in the narration, Imam Ahmad and others, كُنَّا إِذَا حَمِيَ الْوَطِيسُ نَلُوذُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ alayhi salatu wasalam. When things got very heated in a battle, we would go and we would find where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we would use him as a shield. We would just find our sanctuary would be in his vicinity alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكَانَ أَقْرَبَنَا إِلَى الْقَوْمِ. He was the closest person amongst us to the enemy alayhi salatu wasalam at all times. On the day of Hunayn, narration of Imam Ibn Hibban. On the day of Hunayn, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was left and stranded alone, they went down into the valley. He had told them to go in slowly. But because the numbers were high, there was like 12,000 Muslims at that day. They had never seen numbers that high before. The highest they had seen was maybe 10,000 on the day of Fath. And the day of Fath, there wasn't really much of a battle. All the battles they fought before was maybe 3,000-4,000 tops. And they were always outnumbered 1 to 5 and 1 to 6 and 1 to 10. And this time, there were 12,000 people and they were outnumbered 1 to 2. So they felt that this was going to be a walk in the park. They went down into the valley of Hunayn and they didn't really scout it out properly. He told them to scout out, they didn't listen. They were a little bit lazy about it. So, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. On the day of Hunayn, when you liked your numbers and you were happy about the fact that there's a lot of you. And then they were ambushed in the valley and people started to run. And there was a lot of confusion. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for an hour or so was left alone, maybe he and maybe another 12 people. And the narration that we have is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he got off his horse and he picked up a handful of sand and he threw it to the enemy. قَالَ شَاهَتِ الْوُجُوهِ. May the faces be punished. And he's speaking to his enemy. أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَبْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. I am the Prophet and there is no lie about that. I am the son of Abd al-Muttalib صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. And they would call upon, the Sahaba would run, يَا أَهْلَ بَدْر, يَا أَهْلَ بَيْعَةِ الْعَقَبَ, the people of Badr, the people who signed the treaty of Bay'at al-Aqaba. And it took them a while before the Sahaba actually came back. But Abu al-Harith, Al-Harith ibn Hisham, who tells us the story, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for a short period of time, maybe half an hour, stood alone and fought the enemy almost with himself and me, four or five people alayhi salatu wasalam, until they were able to come back. In Mecca, the Prophet, and this is also narrated by Ibn Hibban, he was doing a tawaf one day, and as he was going around the Kaaba alone, there was the Dar al-Nadwa. This is where the elders of Quraysh would sit and they would chant. And for some reason, they were sitting and the door was open and they were making fun of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. They were mocking. And as he would go around the Kaaba, every time he came close to their vicinity, to the point where he could hear what they were saying, they would raise their voices with the mockery and the words they would be using to describe him, alayhi salatu wasalam, bullying him verbally. So he kept on doing his tawaf. Every time he came by, they would say something. They would raise their voices in laughter and say, call him a name or call someone of the Muslims a name. Or after he was finished the seventh tawaf, he broke off and he came towards Dar al-Nadwa alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the Dar is Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan and others. And he walks amongst them. And he comes by them one by one, speaking and putting his head between the people who are sitting beside each other, saying, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ, if you don't stop doing this, if you don't stop this abuse that you're going down, because that was during the time where they were torturing Muslims physically. And of course, they were mocking him, alayhi salatu wasalam. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ فَوَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالذَّبْحِ, I have come to you with nothing but the sword. Walking between them one by one, حَتَّى خَافَ الْقَوْمِ, until they got scared. فَقَالَ أَبُو جَهْلِ انصرف موفورا أبا القاسم ما عرفناك إلا حليما. Please leave with in grace, Abu al-Qasim. We've only known you to be patient and not to take things too seriously. So he walked away, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he left them alone. He was never, and I love this story in Mecca, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put up with a lot of abuse in Mecca, a lot, and it happened almost on a daily basis. They would physically and financially and socially and verbally mistreat him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He never ever responded. And sometimes people read the stories, they're unsure, why is he not responding, alayhi salatu wasalam? It wasn't fear. It wasn't fear. It wasn't the lack of bravery. It wasn't the lack of him being willing to stand his ground and say what needs to be said. It was just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't respond to them. Don't fight back. Don't push back. Leave them. We will give you a salvation at some point. But alayhi salatu wasalam was more than capable. On the day of Uhud, there was a man by the name of Ubay ibn Khalaf. And Ubay ibn Khalaf had sworn at some one point in Mecca that he was going to kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And actually the narration is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would walk by him one day, and he had a horse. Ubay ibn Khalaf had his horse. He would come near the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and say, أَتَرَى هَذَا الْفَرَسَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ, you see this horse I have here. قَالَ نَعَمْ, yes, it's very nice. فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ ما أغذيه إلا لأقتلك عليه. I am feeding it so I can kill you one day when I'm on its back. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بل أنا قاتلك بإذن الله. If that's the case, then I'll be the one who kills you. يقولون فخاف أبي. أبي got scared. فلما أتى أحد لم يرد الخروج. When أحد came, he didn't want to go. But the people of Quraysh, or the elders of Quraysh, would mock him. Are you scared? You know, they start the chicken thing and start doing stuff like that to make him feel. And he's telling them, you're taking me to my demise. You know, he's never lied before. I don't want to go. He would go anyway. He would go and he would be in full armor from head to toe. He was the only Faris from the Qurayshi group that you couldn't see his face. He had covered every aspect of himself. And when time came in during the battle, once the 40 people ran down the mountain and things had shifted quite a bit, and now the Muslims were had the lower hand, and a lot of Muslims had run, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was stuck in a very small area just beside the mountain of Uhud, and he only had maybe a handful of people who were standing by him. Ubay ibn Khalaf thought this was the right moment to seize his opportunity, redeem his name and get the job done. So he charged the Muslims. And of course, the Muslims saw Ubay ibn Khalaf coming, so one person says, هذا Ubay ibn Khalaf, because there's no one else who looks like this. Look at how. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, أهو? Is it actually him? فقالوا نعم. قال فنفضنا عنه عليه الصلاة والسلام. So, and he threw us all from beside him. قال أعطوني حربة, give me a spear. So they gave him the spear. قال فهزها عليه الصلاة والسلام ونحن نقول له اجلس اخفض رأسك. We're telling him, sit, put your head down. Like there's way too many, the archers are waiting just for a moment to find you. Sit, put your head down. You don't do this, obviously. No, so spears, but if you are to throw one, usually you would kind of get the hand, the feel of it first. You have to kind of move it in your hand until you feel that you have good control so that you can actually send it. These things are huge, by the way. I've seen one in Medina, one of my father's friends. He had like a collection of Arabian armor and arsenal. Like he had Arabian swords and Arabian spears. They're huge. I thought it was something that maybe three or four men would carry and would try to bust a door or something. It's really big. It's very. I can't imagine how they would carry it. But because it's so big, the velocity that it gets if you throw it properly, it can pierce almost anything. So he throws the spear. It doesn't hit Ubay ibn Khalaf. It grazes him. It just grazes his armor. It doesn't actually land exactly where it was supposed to land. It doesn't kill him. So it grazes his armor, and it basically shakes him a little bit. فَأَخَذَ يَقُولْ قَتَلَنِي مُحَمَّدٍ Muhammad killed me. وَالْقَوْمُ يَقُولُونَ لَهُ مَا قَتَلَكَ And people are saying, no, he didn't, you're fine. قَتَلَنِي مُحَمَّدٍ He killed me. يقول له القوم ما قتلك he didn't you're fine it's just you've just been hit يعني there's nothing it didn't go through you're fine قال فانصرف يخور كالثور he turned on his he panicked and he started to run in the opposite direction with on his horse screaming قتلني محمد قتلني محمد until he came to the verge of a hill عثر فرسه and his horse that he was feeding tripped وسقط عن فرسه he fell off the horse وسقط عليه الفرس وتدهده حتى آخر الجبل فنزل ميتا basically he fell off his horse fell on top of him and they rolled down the mountain and by the time they found him at the end of it he was dead صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم probably the most important story of bravery in my opinion for him عليه الصلاة والسلام was the story of الهجرة I think this is the most important of all. It's not told as a story of bravery, but I think that's what it is. I don't think there's any other explanation for it. I think the proper understanding of the story of Al-Hijrah is understanding his bravery, alayhi salatu wasalam. You see, on the night of Hijrah, he did everything possible to get things done appropriately. He left, he had trained, he had slept in his backyard for a month, so that when he put Ali in the backyard, it wouldn't seem like this was weird. So he actually planned this a month in advance, making sure that he was sleeping in the backyard every day, so that he could put Ali there, and then they would think he was there, so he'd win like an hour or two. And he was going to leave at noon. No one knew, not even the person leaving with him, Abu Bakr, knew that they were leaving. He would go in the opposite direction. They would have Amr ibn Fuhayra, which is one of the shepherds, cover their tracks with the flock of sheep. And then they would abandon their camels and send them down into the desert and stay in a cave for 3 nights in the opposite direction of Medina. It's all planning, alayhi salatu wasalam, so that they couldn't catch him, so he would make it to Medina safely. Yet, somehow they find it. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They actually find exactly where he was. It's not like they found the area and they call upon him. You're somewhere here. We know. They actually made it to where he was. Like they got up there. And as he's sitting there, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you should always kind of think about this. If you're in his spot, and you've done all that to make sure that they couldn't find you, and you hear them coming up your cave, not the cave beside you, to where you are. What usually comes to mind is that that's it, they found us. They know exactly where we are. And they enter the cave, and the cave basically just, if you ever go to Mecca, you should probably go see Ghar Thawr, because it's just interesting to see. It's a big kind of, it's an opening, and then there's a small opening. There's a little kind of, no, maybe barely a two, I don't understand exactly how they fit there, both of them. Very small. So they're sitting in this little opening in there. In their minds, that they've been caught. This is the point that I think is important. In their minds, they were caught. And since they were caught, they were cornered, they're in a small cave, they're going to die. This is the end. This is the end of it. So that's why in the ayah, the Prophet ﷺ turns to Abu Bakr, and he doesn't tell him, don't be afraid. He doesn't tell him, لا تخف. He tells him, لا تحزن. He tells him, don't be sad. As this comes to an end, as our story comes to an end, don't be sad. We did everything we could. We had a good run. We served to the best of our ability. We showed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best we got. Unfortunately, this didn't work out. This will be the last moment that I'll see you alive. But don't be sad about it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ma'ana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our side. He doesn't abandon us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment when you're losing doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not with you. If you've done your job and if you stand by what is right, even as you fall, even as things don't work out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still there with you as you fall to cushion that final moment. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what he was saying is, don't be sad. It's over, but that's how it is. He's being extremely brave alayhi salatu wasalam in accepting his fate and helping Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also accept his fate. The fact that they lived was just a moment of that was the miracle. The fact that they lived, the fact that somehow they stood there in the middle of that cave and didn't see them and walked away, which is almost unheard of. In terms, it's impossible. There's so many people. How could they not have seen? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the movements of the eyeballs inside the sockets. And they didn't see him for some reason. And they walked away. And they left him alayhi salatu wasalam in there. And alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr knew, understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan for them to continue to move. So they did. But at that moment, at that specific moment, their comprehension was, it was over. We're going to die. So his response was, la tahzan, don't be sad. Yeah, it's not fun dying, but don't be sad. We've done everything we could. It's not like there's something more we could have done that we didn't do. It's not like we slept on the job and we came in late and we slacked. And no, we did everything we possibly could. So don't be sad. They say, the scholars, Suluk say that the people of high status in this world, the only feeling they feel before they die is sadness. You just feel sad for it to end. Because it's just, you're losing, there's no more tawbah. There's no more dhikr, there's no more Qur'an, there's no more good deeds. It's over. You have nothing, you can't do anything good anymore. And losing that opportunity is sad. That's all. That's all it is. There's a lot of other feelings you can feel when you die. You can feel scared. Totally, you can feel scared. But the people of high status, they don't. They just feel sad. Just the sadness overcomes a very weird feeling. Overcomes them for a moment and they just feel just sorrow. And the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr, don't let it get to you. It's okay. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In my opinion, that this incident shows a very high degree of bravery, of courage, of full acceptance of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. Because if he knew, so I know, because the common, I know, the common story is that he knew that they weren't going to, no, he did, how could he have known? How could he have known? Because of the spider web. There's no evidence that it ever happened, by the way, at all. There's no evidence of the pigeon and the spider web. There's no evidence of all at all. It's just stories that were told. But there's nothing. I have nothing. I have no way to actually. But the Quran is very specific in what it actually documents. It documents the word la tahzan. That shows the yarwi Imam Bukhari an Anas. But the Prophet Ali, that one day Ahl Medina, this is how Anas described it, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وأشجع الناس. The Prophet Ali was the most generous of people. He was the most brave of all people. وإن أهل المدينة فزعوا ليلة من صوت سمعوه. And the people of Medina one night got very scared from a sound they heard. And you can imagine back then when there was lack of communication, there was no internet. If you're living in a city and you hear a very, very loud noise coming a little bit from towards the horizon, then the fear is that there's an army somewhere and that you're going to be raided at some point. That's the fear that people end up having. So when that happened, the people of Medina they came together and said, okay, what should we do? Who should go and see what this is? But as they're doing that, فَإِذَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَائِدْ. The Prophet ﷺ was on his way back. عَلَى فَرَسٍ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ سِرْجٍ. He's on a horse that doesn't have a saddle on it. Meaning he got on a horse, عليه الصلاة والسلام, because he was in such a hurry to go see what was going on. He didn't put a sword. عَلَى عُنُقِهِ سَيْفٍ. He had put the sword around the horse's neck, and there's no saddle. فَقَالَ يَعُودُ يَقُولُ لَن تُرَاعُوا لَن تُرَاعُوا. Don't be afraid, there's nothing. And I went, there's nothing for you to be afraid of. وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَوَجَدْتُهُ بَحْرًا أو إِنَّهُ لَبَحْرًا. And I found this horse to be, he's like an ocean. He moves like the sea. He's amazing, this horse. And it was the horse of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He says that this horse continued to be one of the fastest horses, and he outlived his owner radiallahu anhu. He outlived Abu Talha from the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he actually went out alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he went out to see what was going on he didn't ask for support, didn't ask for aid, didn't even put a saddle on the back of the horse, alayhi salatu wasalam, just went up to see what's going on and came back to tell people, لَن تُرَاعُوا. There's nothing to be afraid of, it's all good. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This concept of bravery or courage, it comes from a heart that is filled with confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where it comes from. in order for you to have it. You have to have confidence in the one whom you're supported by, or else it's hard for you to actually build. When you look at the Prophet ﷺ carrying this message, I can tell you that all the stories I've told, I've shared with you, are actually just small, little, almost insignificant in the bigger picture. Him carrying a message, alayhi salatu wasalam, that caused everyone around him to become his enemy and speak ill of him, is the bravest thing a person can do. You have no idea what it's like to be stranded alone. You have no idea what it's like to be isolated by your community, to be called names, and to be set, for things to be said about you. We're social beings. We live in a community where we know that people support us. People, we have a certain status that allows us to kind of exist safely. The moment you do something and everyone turns against you, it's an extremely bothersome feeling. It's very difficult to accept. The Prophet ﷺ had to spend his life that way. It was very hard for him to be isolated in a manner where the people who were once his close friends, his family, his loved ones, are no longer. And not only do they stand against him, they speak ill of him and they spread rumors about him. And they're saying things about him that he never did and that he actually lived his life to make sure no one said about him. Talking about him Majnoon and Kazab and Sahir and Kahin. Things that he literally, yeah, and this is what he lived to make sure no one said about him. And now it's being said about him, alayhi salatu wasalam. That on its own is, to me, the bravest thing that anyone can do. And that's why when you look at the negotiation period, I think that's the bravest period of his life, because they offered him, they made all these offers to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he wouldn't take any of them. Even though I'm pretty sure his heart just wanted to take one of them, because to end the bad rumors and to end the hearsay, to end all the abuse and mistreatment and the isolation he was going through. But he said no, alayhi salatu wasalam. And probably one of the most interesting moments is when the people of Quraysh came to Abu Talib. Abu Talib stood by him. Yani, to be honest, Abu Talib, he stood by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for all his life. But there was a moment where Abu Talib was a little bit ill, and the people of Quraysh came to Abu Talib and they said things that were heavy to Abu Talib. Abu Talib was a very proud man. So they came to him and they told him, we respect you and all, but if you don't get him to stop doing what he's doing, then we're going to, our respect for you only goes so far. In so many words that they were saying, it only goes so far. You need to silence your nephew, or else we'll do this or that. And they threatened. And he felt very offended that they came to his home and they threatened him. So he called the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he told him again in so many words, لا تحملني ما لا أطيق. Don't overburden me with that which I cannot carry for you. I love you and I want you to do what you think is right, but don't overburden me. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a tear ran down his face. I mean, it's hard to be completely unsupported in this world. It's hard to be alone. It's very difficult. فقال والله يا عم ما أنا بأقدر على ترك هذا منكم على أن تشتعلوا من الشمس بشعلة. I can tell you this, my uncle. I cannot leave this. I cannot abandon what I am doing more than you can take a candle and light it from the sun. I know the other narration is they put the sun in my right hand. It's actually a weak narration. This is the narration that's authentic. And I can't stop doing this. والله ما أنا بتارك ما أنا عليه حتى تنفرد سالفتي أو يظهره الله. And I'm not leaving what I'm doing until my life is gone, until I die, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it some form of success. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In full and complete commitment to what he was taught and what he was going to do, alayhi salatu. And he would walk away, again, in sadness that he doesn't have the support, but showing full bravery, alayhi salatu wasalam, and willingness to continue to do it regardless of whether he has people standing by him or not. And I think it's worth your time to think a little bit about what it means to be in that form, in that sense, isolated in that way, and imagine it. Because if it doesn't happen to you, it's hard to imagine. It really is. Very difficult thing to imagine. But it's one of the most difficult experiences you can ever have in life. To feel that you don't really have anyone behind you. You're standing alone. And standing alone, even outside of battlefields and outside of, is just a heavy thing to carry. I'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. هذا هو حبيبكم صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. صلوا عليه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم.